Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
You're welcome along to Monday Night Rugby. We are looking back at Saturday's Pro 14 final and we've got Keith Wood with us. How are you, Keith?
I'm great, Owen. How are you doing?
Not too bad, thanks. And Rory O'Connor of the Irish Independent is also on the line. Good evening, Rory.
Hi, Owen. Hey, Keith.
Very well, thanks. So it finished Leinster 27, Ulster 5 in Saturday's Pro 14 final. Not perfect at all times from Leinster, but still comfortable enough in the end, Keith. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised at this stage that Leinster are closing out big games by this margin.
Yeah, I don't think we should be surprised at all. But I what's very interesting for them is how they have considered all these games, how they've chopped and changed their team, how a lot of the changes seem pretty much seamless. So I just thought it was an incredibly impressive performance. Ulster got off to a great start, showed a fair amount of invention, really wanted to have a go. Leinster just seemed to be very comfortable with it. There was no sense of panic at any stage. And look, they made plenty of mistakes. I still think we need to be very cognizant of the fact that there's not a huge amount of rugby has been played for a long time. You know, in most cases, you'd only be getting into the start of the season and they're already playing finals. And there's an awful lot of pressure in the finals. But I thought it was a very complete performance. I think they kept a bit of petrol in the tank. They didn't try a huge amount. They just plotted their way around the field. I thought it was, like, it's hard not to like watching how they play because I thought they were excellent, like really excellent, even with a few mistakes. And, you know, when you have Johnny Sexton sitting on the bench and giving Ross Byrne, I give Ross Byrne a bit of flack sometimes because I think he's a bit too deep too often. I thought he had an excellent game, like really fine game. And a lot of the players that have been on, not the outer reaches, but in the 23 who got their chance delivered. So, look, they have to be very happy. And I equally like the fact there was a very muted celebration at the end. And I know there's no crowd there, but they have bigger fish to fry in the coming weeks.
Rory, what was it that impressed you the most about Leinster's performance?
I think what's just so impressive is the fact that even when Ulster scored and their line-out was creaking, it never felt like they were going to lose the game. That you always have, they have such faith in their own ability and their game plan and the fact that no matter what goes wrong, they'll fix it in the end. Every player is so good. They have such resources to call on. They can, you know, rest Johnny Sexton and bring in Ross Byrne. And as Keith said, I think it was probably Ross Byrne's best performance in a Leinster jersey. You know, I haven't seen him that impressive with ball in hand and not that much of a threat. You know, when he's not kicking the ball, you know, his cross kicking is almost unparalleled around the place. But, you know, he was threatening the line. He was asking questions himself. He bought a penalty off Sean Reedy. You know, like, if there's, you know, their line out creaks, but their scrum steps up. Their defense was absolutely incredible. And when you see a guy who's in his first final, like Caelan Doris, I know Josh van der Fleer got man of the match and played very well and led the line, but I thought Doris was just exceptional on the day. And if he keeps going this way, you know, the sky's the limit for him, you know. And, you know, Hugo Keenan's first final, he steps up, plays very well. You know, it doesn't matter who's in the jersey, the performances are still as good. And, you know, it was fairly soul-destroying for Ulster, who, unlike Munster the week previously, fired a shot and tried to play. But, you know, Munster got a lot of criticism for box kicking all night, but they did keep it tight and they kept it going until the last 10 minutes, whereas Ulster got blown away 10 minutes after halftime as they tried to push it. So you'd hope there's not a lesson there that people will still try and play against Leinster. But, it, you know, unfortunately, you know, Ulster played quite well and probably got a few more plaudits than Munster got a week previously, but they finished 22 points off the pace, whereas Munster were a lot less than that. So, yeah, it's quite soul destroying for all their rivals, because I don't think they're getting any weaker. They're impressive across the board, but I think it was their defensive excellence, their incredible intensity, and the way they smashed Leinster back, or Ulster back all the time. And Doris and Ringrose, I didn't mention Ringrose, but I thought he was brilliant as captain as well. So it's hard to know where to start with them when you're kind of talking about their superlatives, but there is room to improve, as Keith mentioned as well.
Well, let's talk about that defence then. And Keith, it's 8 points conceded in two games now by Leinster, two huge games, which is almost more important. It almost seems as if they're getting better in this department, that they're letting in less points in this department.
Well, I think they are getting better. I think they, the more players that are getting used to the system, the more comfortable they are with the system. That makes a really big difference. And look, there are variations all the time, and yet everybody else seems to know what's happening. So in this instance, it was like a bit of a throwback to Nigel Carr, and I'm definitely showing my age, but where you have a 7 flying at 10. And like Burns was under so much pressure to catch the ball, and he might pass it. And even though he got the ball away, I think virtually every time, I think he may have been caught once, he got the ball away, but it meant everything was hurried. And so they were under pressure all the time. The guys outside him were under pressure. And to be able to have a guy flying out of the line like Van der Fleer was, the rest of the players have to do a really good job then on the back of it, because you've one guy out of it. But so they're able to kind of decide to change different things, do things a little bit different, start putting different people under pressure. Like, I thought it was a very simple game. I do think a lot of the game was like a throwback. And I love the idea that some of the things that they're bringing to the game now aren't new, but are old. But they worked in times past, and as the laws change, they work again. So yes, defensively they looked very good. The quality of the tackling, two guys in on a huge number of tackles. The only negative part of their defensive was, for me, Conan got penalised 3 times, and I was looking at that. I was kind of arguing with the ref on some of them. I think that law is interesting, how it's been refed, but I actually think it would be incredibly frustrating, because some of those seem to be turnovers and weren't and didn't become so. But there was a few shakes at the head from Conan when he was running back, but there was a great sense of composure. So I would have said that their defence was excellent, but was incredibly simple.
Yeah, like that situation you mentioned with Van der Fleer flying off the line and somebody being outside him to protect the risk that presents. How long does that take from a coaching standpoint, Keith, for Leinster to get to that level where everybody understands what to do when somebody comes off the line?
I don't know if that takes a huge amount of time. It just goes to the coach saying, listen, this is what you're going to do, Josh. And lads, business as usual behind him. So he's given the sort of the get out of jail card. It doesn't matter if they step you. It doesn't matter if the ball is popped to somebody else. Everybody else, we have one guy now out of the line, and we're confident that the rest of the team can go and do it. So it's almost like playing with a guy in the sin bin. They still play with that same level of the line, but this is a very offensive manner in which to use it. So look, I just liked it, because it's a bit different, you know. And for me, it was a simple thing. But again, it's things of the past that are used really, really well and really effectively. So that was done 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And all you needed was a little offload, and you were 20 yards behind the opposition. You know, that didn't happen the other day, because it was a very well and very comfortably organised defensive setup.
And it does seem, Rory, that they've answered any questions that they've had defensively, whether it's the high-kicking game that Munster had against them in their first game. They seemed to answer that pretty well last week at the weekend, and they seemed to answer pretty much all the defensive questions. And it seems personnel-wise they've improved. Even James Lowe seems less of a defensive liability, not that he ever was. And Hugo Keenan seems exceptional in that department too.
Yeah, I think they'll be tested more in that department next weekend when, you know, Saracens have an excellent kicking game, and Will looks like they're going to be bringing the Wigglesworth back, and his box kicking is excellent. Their chase game is very good, and I think that will be somewhere Saracens look to exploit, because, you know, Keenan, for all, is very good. They get cleaned out by Stockdale at one point, and Ulster maybe didn't go to the air as much as they should have. They kind of used it more as a last resort when they were getting battered on the line. But yeah, the big concerns they will have is their line out, and I don't think Ronan Kelleher can take, like, you know, Keith knows more about playing hooker than I do, but I thought a lot of their communication was poor. I thought they missed lifts a couple of times. They didn't even get up in the air. One time Andrew Porter took the ball. That's going to be a big concern because next week they're going up against the Toje. So I do think those elements will be tested more as they step up in class this weekend. You know, they are the best team in the Pro 14 by some distance. But I think that their personnel are forced to play exceptionally well every week. Van der Fleer is an excellent example. I don't think Josh Van der Fleer is in line to start this week. I think Will Connors will start this week. Certainly, I think that's the plan. And Van der Fleer's mission was not only to win the Pro 14 and he won man of the match in the final. His other mission was to try and convince Stuart Lancaster and Leo Cullen that he's the man to play against Saracens this weekend. And in many ways, he did everything he could to do that. Now, Connors, I think, is a horse for a course. That he'll be sent out to stop Billy Vinopola. But, you know, they did a very good job. And Van der Fleer led the line in terms of stopping Coetzee at the weekend. So they're just, every time someone is given a start or given an opportunity, they know, it's a bit like the Dubs, they know that this is their one and only chance. And if they don't take it, there's someone equally good ready to take it, you know, next week. So that's, you know, they just learn, they assimilate and learn all the time. They're just really, really good at that. And, you know, Munster showed up a couple of areas in game one, but didn't kind of try to exploit the same areas again 2 weeks later. But they you know, they'd learned from that experience, and they are improving in all of those areas, bar maybe the line out, which I think is the chief concern going into this week.
Yeah, just on that, Keith, what is your take on Leinster's line out? If they've managed to fix other potential issues so well, there's probably no fear of them not being able to fix this one.
No, I mean, look, I there's a couple of parts of it. I thought their timing was off. So it was unusual to see it being off in that fashion. So there was maybe four balls were missed. But as Rory said, there was no lift sometimes, or there was the wrong movement. That can be people coming back in. But you don't expect it to go bad when James Ryan comes back in, you know. So I can tell you that every hooker worth his salt is going to have days when it doesn't work for him. There's also days when he's not at fault for some of them. But even on those days, you lose your confidence because you know who you want to throw it to and it's not happening. So, look, these are system failures. You don't want to have system failures in the final. And normally when that happens, you lose. And that can happen. But it was a bit of a problem. But for me, the most interesting or intriguing part for Leinster was, we talked about their defence, but it was because they weren't under pressure. They didn't seem to be in any hurry at any stage. They forced Ulster into pressurised passes, into loopy passes in the back line, into players coming out of the line, on their line, you know, for the try that Lowe scored at the end. You just needed to stay on your man. You can't go for the ball on the line. But it was forcing. This is 15, 20 minutes into a game where they pretty much are being battered left, right and centre and have no time at all. And the pressure told on Ulster. I thought Ulster played pretty well. I thought they made a couple of mistakes, and in this instance Leinster took every opportunity. So any opportunity that came their way they took, with the exception of the lineouts. So look, and even, which was something I wrote down twice, and this is why I got I was really impressed by Ross Byrne, his touch finders for penalties. I think he took the view was, if it doesn't go out, it doesn't go out, but he was kicking them 50, 60 yards to be 5 and 7 yards out. You know, the pressure that puts on a defensive team is incredible. And I just think Ulster never caught a break almost in the game. They were under so much pressure.
Yeah, we'll come to Ross Byrne in just a moment. But just one last point on the line-out, Keith. How important is it for Leinster, how important is it for Ireland that there are just more minutes clocked up between Ronan Kelleher and James Ryan at this point from the line-out?
Well, it's just more time for Ronan Kelleher, because he has to see what it's like to play under pressure. He has to understand all the different elements of it. He has to understand that the hype of a final can mean that you can throw the ball about a yard further or 2 yards further, and you have to make certain that that doesn't happen. You may not be used to it. But it's also about getting things working really, really well. So I didn't think Leinster were getting off the ground at times. Some of the movement didn't seem to be as good as it normally was. And actually, once they recognised that their timing was off, they kind of stopped throwing it there. They threw an awful lot to Conan at two, just made certain that they had the ball and held the ball for a period of time. So, look, you need all that practice, but everybody needs to understand the movements of the players, you know. So, like we're saying, the timing was off. I think a couple of times Ronan Kelleher threw too early. He saw the movement and then reacted. And that's just because he doesn't quite understand the full body language of the people that's there. Maybe. That's what it looked like to me.
Right. Well, hopefully a bit more minutes in the clock and that'll address some of those issues. You're listening to Keith Wood and Rory O'Connor, by the way, on Monday Night Rugby. Our rugby coverage is with thanks to Vodafone, Team of Us, everyone in. Let's talk about Ross Byrne, lads. And Rory, it seems that Ross Byrne and Johnny Sexton are obviously going to be inextricably linked when we talk about them because of the problems that they play for. But it's around this time in Sexton's career when he became the starter for Ireland at Six Nations level anyway. How similar are those trajectories at the moment? It seems that Ross Byrne rarely, if ever, puts a foot wrong.
Yeah, Ross Byrne must be wondering what he has to do to get a bit of positive PR. So I think he deserves it after the weekend. But I mean, he hasn't even, like, he's been waiting patiently for Johnny Sexton to head off into the sunset for a couple of years. He turned down a move to Ulster when Joe Schmidt and David Nussafour were trying to get himself and Joey Carberry to make a move and saw off Joey Carberry at the time, who I think a lot of people thought was the better player, but he backed himself and Leinster, in fairness, backed him ahead of Carberry at that number 10 role. Carberry was the 15. And he's still waiting patiently for Johnny Sexton to come through. And everyone's talking about his little brother as the man. Like Brian O'Driscoll has been on this show anointing Harry, you know, who is excellent and is a flashier player and has a lot more of the kind of athletic ability, I think, to go on and be a world-class player than Ross. But Ross has now got a proven CV of delivering in a lot of very big games for Leinster, in one of the best teams in the world. And he steps in for one of the best players in the world, and the team's performance rarely dips. And I think his game management, which is one of those slightly indefinable things that there's no numbers to kind of measure it. But he comes in and he makes the right decisions at the right time for his team. His technical abilities are very, very good, as Keith mentioned, his touch finding, things like that. You know, he rarely makes a mistake. His goal kicking is very, very good, and his option taking, I think, is the biggest thing. I think he makes the right decision nearly all of the time, and that from your number 10. You don't necessarily need a really flashy player who makes, you know, line breaks all the time. Although his running was very good at the weekend, probably better than I've seen before. I think he'd earned that start, having kind of started the semi-finals against Munster last year. I think he'd earned a start in a final. And, you know, a measure of the job that he did was that by the time Johnny came in for a lap of honour and a 20-minute run out for Saracens. Now, he drops out of the team this week, you'd expect. But I think if anything happens to Sexton, they'll have no hesitation in sending him in because of the role that he's played in their success so far and the trust that they have in him. And while Harry is a really, really exciting player and so is Kieran Frawley, I think they've still got a fair bit of work to do because Ross has proven himself to be a very, very willing and hardy competitor. And I think he is Ireland's number two out half at the moment, even though he won't start the biggest games for Leinster if Sexton is fit.
Well, Keith, just on that then, if Sexton does stay fit, do you think that he can take that step to actually making this a legitimate contest? Because, let's face it, the reason why he started on Saturday is because Sexton was resting up for Saracens. Does it get to legitimate contest level next season, in your view?
Well, I think it needs more of those type performances. So, I disagree with Rory and say that I would look at Leinster when Ross Byrne is playing, and he tends to play in an awful lot of the games that aren't finals. Okay, he's played in a couple of semi-finals and he's done pretty well. He's done well, but other players have had to do incredibly well as well. I still feel he sits too far back, and he didn't at the weekend. So for me, he took a big step at the weekend. I think he's often defensively a little bit meek in the tackle. He wasn't at the weekend, you know. So for me, it looked like he had been given the jersey and he felt he had to prove that maybe this is something that it could be his jersey going forward. I think it's a masterclass from Leo Cullen to do it. I think it's a really, really good selection. It keeps a guy on the top of his toes. And in my view, he has to start thinking that 10 jersey, he wants it to be his. To do that, he needs to not play, I'm not going to say a safe game because he's a very good player, but he needs to take control. So 10s take control. That's that's all you ever want as a forward or as a player, as someone who's actually able to direct the ball around the field and the game and to do it. And I felt he did a really good job in that yesterday. So I'd agree. I think it's the best game I've seen him play. I know he's done other things and done it very well, but there was more balance to him and he got stuck in a little bit too, because if he plays more at 10, if he plays closer to the line, he's going to be targeted by back rows. He has to deal with all that. He has to take those hits on his terms. I would have seen that he did that a couple of times at the weekend. And for me, I get excited because, you know, we need playmakers in the country. And I thought for me, he played very well. And I wouldn't get totally over the top excited by it because I want to see him do it again and do it again. But for me, he looked like a real international 10. And I thought he bossed the game. So for that, that's only good for all of us.
So positionally, Keith, in previous games, you would have seen him sit a lot deeper, essentially to use Ring Rose or Henshaw as more of a protection, or what were you seeing in the past?
Just, I think a lot of the way Leinster play is that they have the 10 going back and he'll pass and he'll drift and they'll have forwards tipping it on and rolling in around it. That works because Johnny will have a cut every now and then on the gain line. And that's why he gets smashed so much, right? But if you don't have that attack every now and then, your defensive setup against you is different. You know that that's not going to happen. So you tend to put more interest in the guys that are going to be outside him. So like if he does it every now and then, it just keeps the guys honest. So but you're going to take a few hits for that. He definitely did at the weekend and he was fine. He got stuck in a fair bit. So like I thought that was a big step forward for him. And you don't get quite as nervous about Johnny getting injured then with something like that happening.
Yeah, for sure. And like that is the hallmark of Johnny Sexton as well, being able to step up and take the hit. Rory, we're going to be focusing a lot on Leinster Saracens this weekend, but this weekend is also a huge opportunity for Ulster, kind of in a similar way that last weekend was an opportunity for them as well. They're 11 points underdogs for the game against Toulouse this weekend. How did they take what they learned from being a massive underdog last weekend and put it into an effort to actually try and win as a massive underdog this weekend?
It's going to be difficult for them. I think Ulster remain in a kind of a category below Leinster and probably Toulouse as well. You know, I think they have some very good players. I think the fact that Ian Henderson now has 50 minutes under his belt is important for them. I think, you know, I don't think he was able to impact the game. And I think Ryan was the same. I think they'll both benefit for the fact that they play, but they weren't at their best. You know, that's the Ireland second row pairing from the last World Cup. And, they weren't as influential as you'd expect because they're just back from injuries. That will help. You know, Coetzee was taken off after 53 minutes. Maybe there's a lesson there. They can't be as reliant on him with ball in hand as they have been. I think they need to learn to take their chances. Like Keith mentioned a couple of errors. Like even the fact that Burns misses the conversion against a team like Leinster or in a European quarterfinal away to Toulouse, you can't spurn those 2 points. You gotta build the score when it's there. You can't give penalties away off kickoff every time. You know, every time that there was a kickoff. I think it was that the John Andrew came on for Rob Herring and he gave away at least one, anyway, maybe two off kickoff that allowed Leinster just get immediate field position. And against Toulouse, you're playing against some of the most dangerous players in the world. You're also playing against one of the biggest packs going in the game. And I know they won't have a big crowd behind them, but there will be, you know, away from home in France, you can't hand teams like these, Leinster, Saracens, Toulouse, Clermont, Racing, are pretty, you know, that's the cream of the crop at the moment. And if you're Ulster, you need to be perfect. And while they were very good on Saturday and did a lot right and scored early and scored a beautiful try, and James Hume looks like a real player, you just can't make as many errors as they did. And if they make even half the errors on Sunday, they're going to be in trouble against Toulouse because Toulouse will punish them. So I wouldn't have a huge amount of hope for them. I think 11 points sounds about right. But they've proven the ability to show up and play in these big games before. They've shown a bit of character in the last couple of weeks as well. And they're improving. And I think they showed a lot more than Munster did the previous week against Leinster. But at the same time, they finished 22 points off them. So they're still on, they're more on the kind of, they're on an upward curve, but they're still quite down on that curve, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and that's a kind of an interesting compare and contrast, Keith. The idea that they went for more of a higher tempo game, whereas we previous Munster perhaps box kicked a hell of a lot more than they did. Do you think that Ulster are on a better path to try and take down Leinster over the next little while? And I'm talking stylistically here.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure with that. I mean, I was very frustrated with Munster's performance because they didn't fire a shot. And yes, it kept them close, but it has to be more than that because Munster have a bad record against Leinster at the moment, so that doesn't work, and you can't be looking for consolation in the score when you lose. But for me, Ulster were like, they scored the try. It was a great try. They played with a huge amount of pressure themselves in the sort of middle of the field, but they gave up their scores very easily, and they were, there are things you can't do, so you have to make teams really work for the score. And it's not the end of the world if they score, but if guys, if a winger runs in without a hand going on him, that's like, that's heartbreaking, because they had to work very hard to get theirs. And you know, then they struggled pretty much for the rest of it, and every time they made a mistake, and Rory, you mentioned it and I mentioned it, but you give away a penalty on a kickoff, and Ross Byrne, in the form he was in, kicks it 65 yards to the 5 metre line out, you're back under pressure again. So you know, that's the, I mean, that's the nature of them. They're not used to having been up at that level either, so it's they're a very good team. They're away from home. I wonder whether Toulouse will be confused by the lack of noise, because you know, some of the matches have gone against the home team in France over the last week or two. So if that were to continue, that'd be great, because normally they depend so much and live off the energy that comes from the crowd. So if it's a good chance and an opportunity for them, but they have to be patient themselves in defence. And they have to be patient with attack, and they have to take every opportunity to score. It's hard for some of the teams, and you're right, Rory, I think that some of the teams are on a higher level, and playing against them means you're under huge pressure yourself to not make a mistake, and that can be disturbing, and you're under huge pressure to take every opportunity, and that's huge pressure as well. So I think there is a bit of a gap at the moment between some of the teams in Europe. Ulster definitely not at that top table, but that doesn't mean that they don't get a win away, but I think they'd be very lucky to win.
Yeah, for sure. Just to tie up the Pro 14 conversation then, Rory, I think your piece in the Sunday Independent yesterday opened with a line that we need not take off the blue ribbons from the Pro 14 trophy at this point. It is Leinster's every single year. In terms of Irish sport at large, where does this Leinster team rank in your view of the most dominant Irish sports teams that we've had?
Oh, God. I mean, there are massive parallels with the current Dublin team, I think. I mean, they haven't quite gone for as long. And this is a new team, really. If you look at the personnel, it's changed since, you know, probably the team that won in Bilbao. It's kind of the Stuart Lancaster era. But they have, I just don't see anyone in this competition anyway closing the gap to them in the next couple of years. We talk about Munster and Ulster trying to close the gap on them, but it's a moving target, and like, I think they're trying to catch up with a bullet train at the moment, and it's so difficult. They've got such an array of talent. The system is perfectly built on top of that kind of gold mine of players coming through, and they're just set up to succeed. And you know, I think we're only at the midpoint of this era of Leinster success. I think this is kind of maybe, you know, Leinster 2.0, maybe even 3.0. I'm not sure. If you think that this success started in 2009, they had a bit of a dip around 2016, and they've come back even stronger. They're very, very impressive at the moment, and they're only going to get better. But, you know, they measure themselves in this competition coming this weekend. I think that winning the Pro 14 is easy for them at the moment. You know, it's still an achievement, and you don't want to undermine the effort that went in from 53 players across the season and the players for whom, you know, Saturday was a special day. But you know, there's 4 stars in that jersey. They talk a lot about earning a 5th. I think if they lose the Saracens, they won't really reflect very happily on this season at all. I think they test themselves on European success. If they win 5 trophies out of 6 in the last 3 seasons, that's a pretty good endorsement of what they've been doing for the last couple of years. And the way the draw has left them in Dublin for the next 2 weeks, if they can get themselves into a final, it'd be hard to bet against them. And even the fact that Farrell's suspended and the, you know, Saracens are missing loads of lads, they have a very good chance of doing that. So, yeah, I think their dominance is pretty impressive. I don't see anyone in the Pro 14 challenging them really for the next, you know, someone could catch them on an off day, but I think they're so far ahead of everyone else in that competition. It's really in the next 2 weeks where they'll be properly tested, and we'll get a good measure of where they are historically and kind of where they are on the kind of European scale. But, you know, right now they're looking pretty good.
Last word to you, Keith. Does that concern you even from a neutral standpoint that the Pro 14 has become so easy for Leinster?
I think that happens in a lot of competitions, rarely for 3 or 4 years, you know. But it's a concern, but, you look at what you want is excellence. So what we're getting is excellence. Mm. So what you're trying to say to the other teams, and especially to the other teams on this island, you need to up your game. And there is an element of luck needed, by the way. Leinster can get away with a bit because they've got huge strength and depth. But for Munster, the injuries take a huge toll on almost like a disproportionate effect for Munster and for Ulster. But this is the standard. All you want is a standard setter, and you have to follow it and meet it. And so if anybody's looking for the goal, it's there in front of them all the time. And it's will Leinster be able to sustain that? I think they can sustain it, but I don't think everything is lost. But you have to have a look at how you're doing things, and you have to do things better, and you need to bring more players to the game, because at the present moment in time, I don't think either Ulster or Munster are getting enough of their players through the system of the quality that is needed. So they're the sort of things that have to change. Now, that might be 3, 4, 5 year vista to get those players through. But on the same token, you have to make a start. And like both those teams need far more strength and depth than they currently have. And they need to be able to trust the guys that they have there. So that's the target. There's a target on Leinster, and there's a target on those teams to make certain that their players from their own province can get there. So look, it's easier said than done, but you can see what you have to do. So I think Leinster have to enjoy where they are at the moment, because I think it's a very stable management. It is a very stable amount of quality players coming through all the time, and that's a fairly potent mix.
Is it going to be a Pro 14 Champions Cup double for Leinster, Keith?
I think they're big favourites to beat Saracens at the weekend. I think Saracens they're still very good, but they're not the same without some of their players. I expect them to win at the weekend, and after that we'll discuss the final after that one. Don't make too many early calls on that yet.
Do you go along with Rory's assertion actually that this could be a little bit of the fly in the ointment if you look back on Leinster's season without getting the Saracens job done this weekend, that they will look back on it with an air of regret?
I think they're a winning team. Mm. They'll be absolutely peeved if they don't win. You know, they need to win. That's what they're set up for. And they have everything at their disposal. But that doesn't mean you win. So they need to go out and have a proper performance. I think they win at the weekend. I actually think they're too strong for Saracens. With the people that have left Saracens, and when it gets to a final, it depends. Finals are different, and you can go out and play very well and lose. You definitely won't be happy with it, but it's not the same as saying you write off the season if that happens. But look, I think they're favourites for it at the moment, and it depends what happens at the weekend and how they play. But they can't actually be thinking about the final. They can only think about the weekend.
All right, you've been listening to Keith Wood and Rory O'Connor on Monday Night Rugby. Thanks, lads.
Cheers, Alan. Thanks, Keith.
Yourself. Cheers, Rory.
Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.